So, from the Gopal Champu, from Jiva Goswami, Uddhava left Krishna and went to Vraja. It is said that every tree...
Can you take that
incense away? That's why my nose is running.
Yeah,
yes, my nose is running. Uddhava left Krishna and went to Vraja. It is said that every tree on the way gave Uddhava direct vision of Krishna. Did a chariot take him to Vraja, or was it the desire on his mind? In the contest, desire defeated the chariot. So, in this way, Uddhava was on the way to Vrindavan. He was very eager to go on to this mission. Krishna had sent messengers before, but all those messengers, they had not satisfactorily been able to represent Krishna. So Krishna said to Uddhava that this time he had been thinking for a long time. For a long time he had been thinking who to send. He had in his mind very carefully thought about it, this one, that one, and no one seemed suitable. Until at one point he saw Uddhava, and then he thought, it's like sometimes the obvious thing, you can't see, just like, you know, you're looking for your glasses and they're on your nose, right? Something like that, you know. And you're looking everywhere, where are these glasses? And you realize, they're on my nose. You know, things like this. So Krishna was looking everywhere and he just could not find a messenger. And then he saw Uddhava and said, Uddhava, natural Uddhava. First of all, Uddhava is my closest friend. My closest friend. One should know that, you know, in Dwarka, Krishna comes every day in that Sudharma assembly house, which when he went up to the heavenly planets with Satyabhama to bring the Parijata flowers, then he also brought with him the assembly house from Indra. So that was quite a place, and he put that in Dwarka, and that assembly house was, whenever you were in there, you would not age. So, useful place. You would not age, and you would also not die in that place. So it was a place to hang out, kind of thing. You can understand. And so the Krishna and the devotees, they would assemble there, and every day they would meet there. And just as we are now here in this assembly house, I don't know about not aging and all these things here, but we'll see, you know. Just have a good look and see if anybody aged in the time that we're here. Yeah. If your neighbors look older. And when your neighbors do look older, then you may look older yourself also. That's how it goes. Anyway. So Uddhava was chosen by Krishna. In Dwarka, when Krishna would be seated in that assembly house, Krishna would be seated on a throne, and also his father, Vasudeva, would sit next to him on the right side on a throne, and next to him would be Ugrasena on a throne, because Ugrasena was actually the ruling king at the time still. Therefore his throne was a little forward to give him special due respect. And then to the left of Krishna was Satyaki, his military commander. And in this way the entire Yadus would be seated in a nice arrangement. And Uddhava would be walking around and talking to Krishna. And Uddhava would talk in riddles. Uddhava was like so learned that he would just indirectly indicate something and no one would understand what's he talking about except Krishna. So this way they had a whole secret language going and secret communication. And they had that special intimacies, you know, looks and everything, where you say, like, you know, Uddhava and Krishna, they have a special relationship. Even after the whole function, whatever it was, what was going on in the assembly halls, sometimes dramas were being performed or other things were going on, and or for the entertainment of Krishna. And then they would, at one point Krishna would go to his room, so everyone would follow him. The whole assembly would just go into the room and follow Krishna. And then at one point, Krishna sort of politely let everyone know that, you know, I wouldn't mind being alone, you know what I mean? Alone, okay. So everyone, all right. Then they would leave. But Uddhava wouldn't go, because Uddhava didn't think that applied to him. Uddhava would stay and he would massage Krishna's legs or something like that, you know? So Uddhava was very, very close to Krishna. Uddhava, why was he so learned? Because he was the disciple of Brihaspati, who is the spiritual master of the demigods. So, you know, the demigods, they have a Bhagavatam with 100,000 verses. If anybody goes to the heavenly planets, don't forget me, bring me one of those Bhagavatams, okay? You know, just in case some of you would like to go. I wouldn't mind having a look at it. It's the only attractive thing about the heavenly planets as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, they have this Bhagavatam, 100,000 verses, and Uddhava was so learned. Very, very much so. We also see that first Krishna chose Uddhava to be the messenger to go to Vrindavan. And Uddhava was very eager to go. Jiva Goswami says, it wasn't the chariot that took him there, or was it his desire? And in between the two, in the contest, the desire won. So he had a great desire to go, very eager. And he saw Krishna everywhere, in every tree, and everything reminded him of Krishna. And he really felt like he was on a mission of Krishna. And because he was on a mission of Krishna, he was feeling very close to Krishna. That's how it is. In the same way, when we are on a mission, you know, like Srila Prabhupada's mission, let's say the book Marathon, then one can feel very close to Prabhupada, to Krishna, because we are then doing what they want. So we're their messenger. So in this way, Uddhava, Krishna's messenger. So he felt very close to Krishna now as he was approaching Vrindavan. Anyway, when he came to Vrindavan, he met Nanda Maharaj and so on, and at one point it came to a discussion, and he was explaining to Nanda Maharaj that actually, why feel all this separation? Uddhava was seeing that Yasoda was saying, how could you let him to Nanda Maharaj? How could you let him go? How could you let him go to, you know, how could you let him go? And then Nanda Maharaj would say, you mad woman, you know, what are you talking about? Krishna just went to the forest with his friends, calves and cowherd boys, and he'll be back tonight. What are you all worked up about? Krishna is gone. He'll be back tonight. Yasoda has lost it lately. And Nanda Maharaj was convinced. And in this way, Uddhava saw that they were like overwhelmed by separation. And then, Uddhava felt okay. And he wanted to say to them, don't worry, You don't know who Krishna is. You don't know who Krishna is. If you would know who Krishna is, there would be no question of separation, because Krishna is always there, everywhere. He's all-pervading. He's present everywhere. Nanda Maharaj, you know, listen to it for a while, right? And then he starts shaking his head. He's kind of like, this Uddhava. You know, this Uddhava, he's just a boy. He doesn't know what he's talking. Just listen to this nonsense, this immaturity. He has no idea, no idea at all. You know, I mean, and that was really the effect of Uddhava's visit to Vrindavan. No one was impressed with what he had to say. Everyone thought, he's very nice, he looks just like Krishna, and I mean, that's good, you know. I mean, where's the yellow dhoti and everything? Hey, now you're talking, this is nice, you know. No, this is nice. Everyone liked that part. But when he started talking, you know, Krishna is just everywhere. Give us a break, you know what I mean? Come on, you know what I mean? What are they going to do with this? This is by no means going to satisfy the heart. No. This has nothing to do with what we desire. We want Krishna here, personally. And that's what you can tell him. And Nanda Maharaj would daily send messengers to Dwarka, daily. The messengers would ride on horses, and they would, until the horses were totally exhausted, then they would change horses and drive on another horse as fast as they could to Dwarka. Krishna would also send a messenger from Dwarka with a message for Nanda Maharaj. So there was constant communication. They were getting news. All of Vrindavan was getting the news about Krishna. But still, they just wanted Krishna to return. So whether Uddhava was able to benefit the residents of Vrindavan, not very much. Not very much. A little bit by his looks. And that was about it. Otherwise, didn't really impress them. But Uddhava himself, he became greatly benefited by seeing the gopis and by seeing Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda. And in this way, Uddhava became tasted something of Vrindavan, some chaya bhav, some shadow reflection he got from these residents of Vrindavan. He did not just become like them, he was still Uddhava, but to an extent he had changed. It transformed him. That association of the residents of Vrindavan is so powerful that Uddhava was permanently transformed. We find in the Bhagavatam that later Vidura is meeting Uddhava. And then Uddhava is just sitting there, and Uddhava is just crying tears. And Vidura is approaching him, and for a while Uddhava cannot speak. It's described in the Bhagavatam. Uddhava cannot speak. He is just so overwhelmed with ecstatic symptoms. And then he begins to remember. And he begins to remember the Vrindavan pastimes, especially. So that memory is like so vivid and so strong and so overwhelming. So in this way, Uddhava had changed in that visit to Vrindavan. It had. At the same time, though, Uddhava, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the Uddhava Gita. Because it was again that Uddhava was chosen as a messenger. This time, not as the messenger to go to Vrindavan, but this time to be the messenger For after Krishna would have left the planet. Again, Krishna thought that Uddhava was the best person to represent him after he would leave this planet. And therefore, Krishna took great care to instruct Uddhava. In the 11th canto, we find extensive discussion in the Uddhava Gita. The Uddhava Gita is, in that regard, it's very, very rich, because it covers actually many things of the philosophy that the Bhagavad Gita doesn't cover. Many things, for example, you get detailed descriptions on Vajrasrama, much more detailed than in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. In that way,
it's important, all these instructions to Uddhava. And Uddhava is meant then to Uddhava is meant to meet the sages at Badrikashram and go there to the I have lots to
Sorry,
yeah. I knew you were coming. I saw it. From Germany. Very good. Better than the South African ones. No, the South African ones, you blow your nose and you get a hole in there. Then it's all in your hands. So, yeah, it does happen. I'm sorry about that, South African ones. German ones are better. What to do? Yes, so Uddhava. So Uddhava is to us an important, an interesting personality. And maybe we can stand behind Uddhava. Because we go to Vrindavan in the same way. We're also outsiders. You know what I'm saying? We're outsiders. We heard about Vrindavan, you know, and Prabhupada and the Acharyas, and we hear the stories, and Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, you know, in South Africa, the local, he's almost like the ambassador of Vrindavan. It's just like, if I would have to give that title to anyone in South Africa, I would give it to Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj for sure, the ambassador of Vrindavan, because he can present it so in such a tasteful way, you know, like intimate and yet not too much, you know, like just really well. Absolutely wonderful, the videos and everything. I watch them, you know, like when I'm on, have to wait a long time on an airport, then I look at these phenomenal videos sometimes. So, Uddhava. Uddhava is like that. He is an outsider who goes to Vrindavan. And therefore, I say, let's get behind Uddhava. Uddhava also, he's taking shelter in philosophy. We cannot just live on Vrindavan Leelas, right? It's nice, Vrindavan Leelas. I mean, really wonderful. But yes, yesterday someone asked that question, where I had said, if we're in a previous, maybe on the blog or wherever, I had said that when we are lacking in love for Krishna, then we turn to Vrindavan, to Lord Chaitanya. And basically that meant like, we hear about all these residents of Vrindavan and they have a level of love for Krishna, which is something you know, we cannot approach. And Uddhava used to think that he had love for Krishna. Before he came to Vrindavan, Uddhava thought, and in Dwarka, everyone would say, oh, Uddhava, Uddhava is a special devotee. No, really, I mean, Uddhava, he has such an attachment to Krishna because they grew up together, they were so close, and, you know, no one like Uddhava. That's what everyone thought. But then, after he'd been to Vrindavan, Uddhava realized, my God, you know, I mean, I have no love at all. But I'm just memorizing some verses, and this and that, you know, but I don't love Krishna. My love is not very deep. So in this way, I think we are safely going behind Uddhava. So I thought this morning, now my saying was, when we are lacking in love for Krishna, when we cannot come to the same level of love that the residents of Vrindavan have, when we hear all these amazing stories and so on, then we should know that we should turn to Lord Chaitanya. Because it's through service to Lord Chaitanya and his mission to flood the whole world with Harinam Sankirtan, to somehow or other become involved in the Sankirtan movement, either directly, indirectly. But by doing that, it says, by entering into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we will enter into the pastimes of Krishna. So this is very, very interesting, how we can automatically, yeah, it's logical, because, okay, you begin to get involved with chanting Hare Krishna in a kirtan together, and then we get involved in spreading this, giving this out, and the mercy starts to flow. We start to give out the mercy. And this, of course, is a big break point. In the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that when you have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that when you take this mercy and you distribute it, that you'll find that afterwards you had more than you had before. So this is an important point. My example is, and some of you may have heard before, but my example is that when we get involved in Krishna consciousness, we get a little cup. You know, the day, joy, we get a little cup.
Okay.
So it's like you get your beads and everything, your neck beads, and now you are part of the Hare Krishna movement, and you also get a little cup. Did you get it? Did you get the little cup? You got it? No. Oh, well, we have to look into that. Anyway, the cup is really small. It's the nectar cup. That cup is for catching nectar, wherever it is. That is very small. So yes, we are, whenever there is some nectar, we hold out our cup, catch it. It's good. Okay, but it's a small cup, you know what I'm saying? So you never get like a lot all at once, but just enough to sort of keep going. Then as we are practicing our spiritual life, that cup is slowly growing, slowly. But then the day that we begin to use our cup to give nectar to others, cup is growing. Like this. This is actually what's happening. So, okay, I've taken the Chaitanya Charitamrita principle and sort of graphically describes it. So get your nectar cup. Very important. So in this way, we can we just become part of the Sankirtan movement. And the Sankirtan movement takes us through Lord Chaitanya, through his enthusiasm and his worship to Krishna, because that's where Lord Chaitanya's focus is. So therefore Narottama Thakur says that automatically by diving into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we emerge in the pastimes of Krishna. Now that is our path. That is our path. Just like in Jiva Dharma, the book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's an interesting book, Jiva Dharma. Have you ever looked at it?
You have.
Anyone else ever looked at Jiva Dharma? No. Jiva Dharma is interesting because it's a novel. It's a novel. And it has all kinds of interesting stories, you see. And it is a novel which is situated in Bengal, in actually the Navadvip area. And it's approximately 50 years after the departure of Lord Chaitanya, something like that. There are still those who were young at the time of the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, who still remember what they saw, who still saw Mahaprabhu. Some people are still living. They're very old, but they're still living. So, okay, that's the time. And it describes how there is, how in Navadvip, the Brahmanas are very learned. They are studying this philosophy of Nyaya. Now, the Nyaya philosophy is a philosophy of logic. It's based on logic. And logicians, they argue on things like, is the air in the pot, or is the pot in the air? No, this is a big question. See, I mean, one can seriously try to analyze such a point. And you can discuss about this for days. So anyway, I'm not overly attracted to it. Yeah. So I have read some articles about Nyaya and how it works. And each time my mind switches off. So I guess I'm not meant for Nyaya. I sort of leave it to other braver persons to wander off in that route. But it is known that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that Nyaya was originally, it's an ancient branch of Vedic knowledge. And the problem that arose with Nyaya is that when this logic based on a Vedic system of basically Sankhya, right? Sankhya, the elements and how they relate to one another. It's a branch of Sankhya. Anyway, when it got confronted with Buddhism, then they sometimes had a hard time holding their ground. They had a hard time holding their ground. So Ayodhya is an area where there were quite a lot of Buddhists in that area. So pandits from Ayodhya, they developed the Nyaya further and developed arguments to defeat Buddhism. So then what you got was Nava Nyaya. And so they had in Ayodhya this Nava Nyaya, which could even defeat Buddhism. And then, but they would, that gave the pandits of Ayodhya a lot of prestige. So what happened then was they were willing to teach it to others, but no one was allowed to take any notes. So at that time, a resident of Navadvip named Vasudev Bhattacharya, he went there. And Vasudev Bhattacharya, he heard everything about this Navanyaya. He fully understood it, and he fully memorized it. And he brought it to Navadvip. And then he expressed such great learning that he got the title Sarvabhauma, and he became Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he became very learned like this, and very famous. And then Navadvip became the place for Nyaya, for Navanyaya. Okay, this is not in Jayadam. We're going now back to Jayadam. This was some background information supplied by K.K. Swami, who did his homework on these things. Now, back in Jayadharma. So in Jayadharma, the brahmanas were basically studying this Nyaya philosophy. And Vrajanath was by far the most expert of all pundits. He was the most learned. Oh, yes. And, there was another pundit who was also very expert, but he was always second to Vrajanath. His name was Raghunath Chudamani. So it began to eat the heart of Raghunath Chudamani, that just Vrajanath. This Vrajanath was just a thorn in his side. If there would be no Vrajanath, then there would be no obstacle to the glory of Chudamani. So Chudamani, it was just getting too much. And one dark moon night, Chudamani was there in the graveyard. And Chudamani was taking offerings from the ashes, from the burned remnants, and sacrificing them in the fire to the goddess. And he was invoking with various mantras the power of the goddess. And then clouds began to assemble in the sky. And then it was all on the bank of the river and the burning god. And then the wind started to blow. Appeared the voice of the goddess. Oh Raghunath Chudamani, don't worry, soon your competitor of Rajanath will not be was studying. He actually came somehow or other about some texts that were quoting Nimai Pandit. It wasn't directly written by Nimai, but there was some texts that were quoting from Nimai Pandit, things he had said at different points in time. And it was clear that Nimai Pandit was like the greatest logician in his time. And really, Vrajanath wanted to find out more about Nimai Pandit. So he started reading about Nimai Pandit. And then, he found out why the name of Nimai Pandit was not really spoken of very much in the circle of the logicians. It was because Nimai had given up.
No, yes,
he had given up the glorious path of Navanyaya.
No, yes, he did.
He had renounced it.
No, really, yes. Nimai had become influenced by sentimentalists. Emotionalists who were practicing the path of devotion. Bhakti.
Yeah. Nimai had drifted off into the path of bhakti. So as Vrajanath was reading, he said, "Ah, what a shame. What a shame, Such a great brain, Such a brilliant personality, and then, the path of bhakti. But how could it be that such a great personality would have become distracted by bhakti? What was it that actually interested him to take up this path of bhakti?" And in this way, as they say, curiosity kills the cat. Yeah. So in this way, Vrajanath was getting some interest in what was going on and started to read a bit about bhakti. And at that time, across the river, there was Godrum. Godrum. Nowadays, we can also go to Godrum, and we can be in Suvarna Bihar, right? And when we read about Suvarna Bihar, we read that Navadvip used to extend up to Suvarna Bihar, and that the Ganga was there, and that you could cross the Ganga and then get to Godrum. So the Ganga was like a little bit more towards that side. I mean, a little bit more, just a few kilometers, Anyway, so Vrajanath had heard that in Godrum there were Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas, they were living like very simple. They were living like Babaji's, just like the time of the six Goswamis. They had adopted that same mood of being, of devotional service, of being very renounced, and they would chant lakhs of names, or at least two, one for the beginners, and they were like very simple renounced. They lived in huts and so on, and they were eating very simple, basic. Yeah.
Every once
in a while, take a few drops of water, and that was it. So anyway, so Vrajanath went there to inquire from these Vaishnavas, and yes, he met there with them, and he actually found it very pleasant, and he actually found that he met with one of the senior leaders, Prajumna Das Brahmachari, an elderly Vaishnava, who was very, very learned and
deep in the philosophy, and all the questions and points that Rajanath brought up were answered. And Jayavardhana describes all that. I will not do that now, but in this particular... But he inquired, basically, about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, a philosophy we know, a philosophy which established the personal feature of the Supreme Lord over the impersonal feature, a philosophy that establishes Vaishnavism over the Shaktas who were just trying to pacify the material energy, or control the material energy, or lord it over the material energy. But Vrajanath, and he began to hear about the goal of bhakti. The Shaktas, they are basically trying to get power. Power to control the energy. So they do rituals to control the deities that control the material energy, and in that way they gain power. The bhakta is simply relying on Krishna, not on personal power, but on what Krishna is giving. And the bhakta in that way is elevated by Krishna's mercy. And the bhakta is seeing that Krishna's mercy can elevate anyone, and therefore is always eager to connect everyone to Krishna's mercy. And thus the devotee becomes an agent of Krishna's mercy, whatever way it comes, in the way of his name, in the way of the Lord, a flower of the Lord, a garland, and then just it's all about passing on that mercy, and just somehow or other, that is the nature of bhakti. Just like you have musical chairs, like they go around. We have musical garlands, right? They just go around, like everyone shares. We saw, like, one year in Mayapur, Kavichanda Maharaj, and it's like they're having this, there's a Bhagavatam class, and suddenly the door burst open, and Kavichanda Maharaj walks in with a garland from Prabhupada in the samadhi. So it's a really fat garland, like a boa constrictor. And he wrapped it around his neck two times. Huge thing. He walks in, and he stands in the middle of the Bhagavatam class with this huge garland. So the speaker just stopped. And then Maharaj said, at the time when Prabhupada was present, if we would receive a garland, we would wear it for days. That was it. And then that garland, everyone got that garland, went around. Transcendent. Then the Bhagavatam continued. So Vrajanath gradually begins to absorb the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and begins to appreciate its compassionate nature, and he begins to appreciate that ultimately love of God is the most wonderful thing there is, because Srila Prabhupada explains that misdirected love, love directed towards so many things, but ultimately, if it's directed towards Krishna, it finds its fulfillment. Anyway, Jayavardhana, I give you one more sample of Jayavardhana. So what happens basically in Jayavardhana is that Vrajanath keeps on visiting these Babajis. There are many visitors who come there from time to time. And the these different visitors, they are entering into discussions on philosophy and so on with these devotees, and they get, and then you get these discussions about transcendental knowledge, and it goes very, very deep, very deep. Different people come there. Some people, they were from another part of Bengal. They were elderly. And somehow or other, unfortunately, their children did not care about their parents very much. They had several sons, but somehow or other, the sons and the daughter-in-laws were all very indifferent to the parents. So they suffered in this situation. So then one day they had a plan, and they said to the children, they said, actually we have some savings. And, you know, we've kept these savings for the one of you who will take care of us. You know. So, you know. Well, you know, I mean, after that announcements, you know, like there was... later on when they were on their own, the sons and daughters-in-law were talking amongst each other, this is outrageous, you know, now they've hidden some wealth, and what is this, and where have they hidden it? And, you know, I'm sure it's in their bedroom, it can't be anywhere else, because in all the other rooms, we would have noticed it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they're never alone in the house. They're never alone in the house. Wherever they are, one of us is always seeing them, but in their bedroom. So the only place where they could possibly have hidden the money, it's in the bedroom. So, one suggested, I have a plan. Plan, good. I have a plan, what we do is there's this old lady, she's a Vaishnavi, and we just sent our parents with her on a pilgrimage to Mayapur. And then, you know, when they go to Navadvip and so on some nice yatra, then we just check out the whole bedroom and we just get the cash. Brilliant, 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 brilliant. This was the idea. So they executed that idea, and then, when the parents were in Navadvip, the news reached them. Their sons had broken into the room and had, discovered the wealth and taken it. And, the parents were totally upset. They were thinking of going back. But then the old Vaishnavi said, no, you know, if you go back, they might even kill you. So they just stay here. So then they just stayed here. And then they also started associating with the Vaishnavas. And they also went deeper and became devotees. And their whole life developed. So, you know, in this way, the book has some... It's very interesting because it shows you some intrigue. It shows you, it builds up a tension also from what's going to happen. What's going to happen to Vrajana? I'm telling you, that much we have to know before we end, before we close this book. Otherwise, you know, that would be too much. That's just not coming. Meanwhile, we go through all this philosophy. One day some Muslims come and they challenge. How are you worshipping the deity form of the Lord? They say there can be no form. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur enters into that. And that, even in Islam, they have something like a form that they're worshipping. And it's true, they're bowing to Mecca. Why are they bowing to Mecca? Five times a day, bowing to Mecca. What about Tilaka? What is there? This Kaaba, right? What is this Kaaba?
Yeah, some sort of stone, we heard.
So, they're worshipping a stone.
Me too.
Pure Yeah. So,
why can't I worship my stone and you worship yours?
So, that's interesting. So it's also deity worship. Anyway, there's a whole explanation based on the Quran about how one can worship the deity. And you have to read it. I'm only whetting the appetite to make you sort of have a look at Jiva Dharma. Yeah, but you know, where do I get that? You already have it if you have the Veda base. And probably somewhere that's around. It's easy to get. It's in the Veda base.
Scriptural writings of other acharyas. Okay, click. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Click. Harinam Chintamani. Jiva Dharma. Click. Like that. It's possible to read it, actually. It can be done.
And,
anyway, let's first get into this whole thing, this Vrajanat.
And yes, what's happening is that Vrajanat has this curse on his head and he doesn't know what it's going to bring, but really what is... But Vrajanat day by day is becoming more interested in spiritual life. So much so that the family is thinking we should quickly get him married, before it goes too far, and they arrange a cousin, and the cousin is sort of going in there, and the cousin says, don't worry, I'll take care of it, and then he goes to the Babaji's and he says, this Vrajanat is not a very trustworthy person, He's blaspheming you all over. He's speaking about making fun of you. Did you know that? I just wanted to warn you. Then later he goes to Vrajanat and said, I just happened to be today in Mayapur and I just came past these Babaji's and they were like laughing how this Brahmana is now becoming so submissive, becoming their servant. Politics and conniving, etc. So all that's going on, but meanwhile, Vrajanat is getting very determined. And then there's a distant uncle of his who suddenly also comes to Navadvipa and turns out to be a Vaishnava. And suddenly they're two. And suddenly they're into it. And sooner or later, they decide to go for it. And they take initiation. And Raghunath Chudamani. No more problem because Vrajanat is no more competitor. He's given it up. He's become a devotee. And just like me, my pandit, he left this nyaya, this logic. Now he is only a bhakta. Like this. Anyway, so that's interesting. You see the intrigue in the book, the whole. It gives us not only a story of intrigue, but it gives us also some history of the Bengali society and what goes on there. And it also describes the Dham. The setting is the Dham. So we get information about the Dham, what it was like, and so on, the history of the Dham. And then we get the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So this whole big introduction of Jiva Dharma for your to spark up some interest. And then towards the end of the book, it gets to a very advanced level. At this stage, Vrajanat and his uncle, Vijay, have now both really advanced in spiritual life. Not only have they thoroughly captured the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but they have actually become purified, and they've gone deep. They've gone very deep. And gradually they are beginning to become more and more advanced, and now they begin to, they've left their material life, and the weight is going more and more onto the spiritual leg, so to speak. And they are more and more taking interest in the in the world of Krishna. And that's actually the real world. That's where it's really happening. That's where reality is, the world of Krishna, and therefore the topic is not suffering, because it's the world of Krishna, and where is the suffering? There is no suffering, it's ecstasy that's the topic. Suffering is only here when the weight's on the material leg, you see. Sorry for that. I don't want to embarrass you. All the questions were not only yours, but there were several questions coming up about suffering. Oh, gosh, suffering. We're not going to talk about suffering, are we? Huh? Suffering. What do we care about suffering? Huh? Did Prabhupada care about suffering? No, didn't bother with it. I mean, so many examples where Prabhupada was not affected by suffering. She's a lawyer. Your Honor, objection. You're a lawyer. It's like coming up. Even Queen Kunti said, bring these calamities upon us again and again and again, because then we remember you. Well, that was Kunti's sadhana. That was her sadhana. And she was getting purified through all these calamities, and her attachment to Krishna was increasing. But the focus was not the suffering. The focus was Krishna, 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 was the ecstasy. So your objection is denied. very sorry. So Vrajanat and Vijay, they were now more on the spiritual side of life. And therefore, they had some interest in developing their eternal identity, and they came like to the most advanced stages of devotional service, where it's about who are we actually in the spiritual world. Somehow or other, our spiritual identity is now lost. We are here in a state of amnesia. Right. And we take it. So, what do you do? Sometimes you have someone who has amnesia. Have you ever met someone? I have, because once there was a devotee from Holland. He lived in Vrindavan, and he had malaria of the brain. And then as a result, he had amnesia. And he was sitting in the guest house lobby in Vrindavan, and I saw him. So I said, hey, Krishna Das, how are you? And no answer. I said, are you okay? And there's a little strange look on his face. I said, are you okay? And then he says to me, who are you? And I go, I knew him for many years.
who are you? So I go to him, who are you? Say, you don't know who you are, isn't it? You don't know. His Kaliber said, but I know who you are because I speak your language. And then I spoke Dutch to him. I said, and you can understand. Total amnesia, complete. No idea who he was or where he was from. Total amnesia. In some cases, it stays. My people, it just doesn't come back, and they have to just take on a new identity. Choose one. Who do you want to be? Well, I'll be Nimai. Why not? Yeah. I mean, gotta be something. I may as well be Nimai. Yeah, you know, choose a country. Well, why not a country that makes the best tissues in the world? You know, so that when you blow your nose, you get no holes in your tissues. And you don't get it all on your hands. Yeah. Germany, yes. German passport. Oh. And so many other benefits. Oh. That one can think of. Trains come in time. Very comfortable. Make no noise. They just fly over the rails. Everything works. The light switches are where you expect them to be. I don't know how you're doing it in your room, but I have a problem with the light switches, you know. Gosh, you know. I'm looking everywhere for the light switches, right? Next to the bed. Is there a switch or what? Has somebody discovered? Under the bed? Under the bed? No, for real? Huh? Where is it? What? A hidden switch? I can't find it. The switch anywhere. Every time I have to walk in the dark to the door, turn on the light there because the switches are all the way there. Oh, gosh. Germany, where the switches are, where they're supposed to be. In obvious places. Can't listen. Yes, so a whole identity. German, you know, where everything works and where the exits of the highway are the same in the whole country. The whole country has one system for exiting off-ramps, right? Every off-ramp is the same in the whole country. It's intelligent because it sort of makes it easy to drive, right? You know what you're expecting. Yeah? And then, oh dear, I went off the off-ramp. You know, I went off the off-ramp, oh, mistake, wrong off-ramp, oh no problem. Because there is a lane also which takes you back onto the highway, in case. That's good. So it's like, oh, well, everything's thought out. If the world would just make roads copying the German system, you know, that would work. Then we'd have a better world. So it fits, I'll take that one. Eventually it grows on us, and then identity just, you forget all about your amnesia. It's all the new identity. So anyway, this is the point, that somewhere behind our current identity is an eternal identity. So then in Jiva Dharma, that is described. And there it is said that Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami, I mean, is a very interesting personality. You know, today I'm taking it up a little bit because I want to kind of, complete it, you know. I did Kanista, I did Mahjong, so now if I don't do Uttam, then my presentation is incomplete, some elements missing. So I'm just bringing this in. But of course, it's way above our level, but it's just theoretical.
on, but it's interesting, you'll see. So in Jiva Dharma,
it's then described that Rajanath and Vijay, they come in Jagannath Puri and they meet the Gopal Guru Goswami. Gopal Guru Goswami is in our line, he's a disciple of Akreshwar Pandit. And actually, you can see in the house of Kasi Misra, where Lord Chaitanya used to stay, there is the Gambira, right? The room where Lord Chaitanya used to stay, in the inner courtyard of the house. But before you come into the inner courtyard of the house, you have the outer courtyard of the house, and there you are finding the deities of Gopal Guru Goswami and also of his disciple Janachandra Goswami. So that's interesting. And so they meet with Gopal Guru Goswami. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur just writes a whole meeting. Yeah? He writes this book, meeting. And Gopal Guru Goswami and his disciple Janachandra, who wrote a book about this, they are like following, there is the Antapanta and the Bahipanta. Anta means the internal path, and the Bahipanta means the external path. So they are custodians of the Bahipanta, of the external path. No. And then there is the Antapanta, the internal path. And Raghunath Das is the custodian of the Antapanta, of the internal path. Yeah? So that is described there. And then originally it says, Gopal Guru Goswami explains, originally it was Swarup Damodar, the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar is a very interesting personality because he has great authority, but he's in the background. He's never coming to the foreground. He's always in the background. So who is this Swarup Damodar? Who is he? He is like acting like a guru to all. No one can see Lord Chaitanya, but when they go through him, and he tests the philosophy of people, so Lord Chaitanya doesn't have to hear any philosophical deviations. But it says, I mentioned before, yesterday, I mentioned that he was none other than Lalita, and that Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, the assistant of Lalita. So Swarup Damodar is like that, is a key personality in our line. And Swarup Damodar then, he taught these two paths, the Bahipanta for Gopal Guru Goswami and Janachandra Goswami, and the Antapanta. Well, let's look for a moment at these two paths, just out of curiosity. So it says the external path of Gopal Guru Goswami and Janachandra. If we read the book of Janachandra Goswami, and it's called the first word I forgot, something Smarana Padati. Just the first word, I think it's a long name. And it begins very devotional. He begins to offer his obeisances to the earth. He offers his obeisances to the earth because the earth has given us a seat. The earth has given us a place to stay. The earth has given us our food. The earth is in so many ways providing. The earth is not taking any offense, even although we are forced to, not always,
behave respectfully with the deity, so he asks forgiveness for all the inappropriate elements of human or of material existence to the earth.
Mm.
Worships the earth.
And little by little, it's going up, and it's like
deity worship, almost. The mood is like deity worship. It's like a formal approach, and then very slowly, beginning to meditate on the lilas of Krishna and on Vrindavan, and sort of slowly entering in there and gradually getting more absorbed and sort of like a meditation on Vrindavan that way. That's the external path. Sounds very internal, Maharaj. No, that's the external path. What is the internal path?
Now we're getting really confused here.
The internal path that was taught to Raghunath is the path that Prabhupada also taught us, saying everything will be automatically revealed from within. Just simply serve. Raghunath's approach was, I will not be called for any of the higher rasas. I will simply take that position of dasya, of being a servant. But when the Vaishnavas call me for other service, then what can I do? So rather, but on my own accord, I will not strive for anything higher than dasya rasa. And Raghunath is just a servant like this, in that spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then automatically everything reveals within the heart, automatically coming to Krishna. So these two paths are there, and they're bona fide. One is the path of, now let me explain it more simply. There is the Ganga in Mayapur. Have you been to the Ganga in Mayapur? Maybe you have. Well, if you go and swim in the Ganga, take a bath, on the side of the river, the current is not very strong. But if you go a little deeper, well, that current is very powerful. So, as you are entering the water on the side, you have to push your body. You have to push your body through the water. When you go deeper, you don't have to push anymore. The water will just take you away. Yeah. Bhakti is the same. So in the beginning, there is this conscious cultivation. Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Yamuna Tira Vrindavan. That's all the external path. Meaning we are still external. We are outsiders. We're outsiders. That's why it's the external path. We're outsiders, but we are trying to get our mind into Vrindavan. This is the external path. The internal path is the path of taking up Harinam Sankirtan, of glorifying Krishna, distributing the mercy, and then from within the heart, everything reveals. And we see that especially Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada are more following that mood and approach, yeah, of just, it will come. Well, I want to bring that out because it puts things sort of in a perspective. Yeah, it puts things in a perspective that we want to see. So, yes, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, we are here. In the mountains, Govardhan, mountains with wings. Chivani was saying on the walk this morning that she was hoping that the mountains would have wings and would carry her back up. It was quite a walk. I was like, okay, I did it bravely, but then, you know, turned on the AC. I was like, okay, breakfast, shower, and then the big
white ocean of the bed, you know. And then, oh no, 10:45. Oh dear. Anyway.
Yes, so Vrindavan. We began our retreat by invoking Vrindavan. And just by invoking Vrindavan, something changes. It is a fact. Our whole perception of where we are changes, and our Krishna consciousness is increasing. So yes, we do this. We do this. We walk some trail, and we're just, as I was walking there up that hill, I was remembering Unchagan, right, in Vrindavan, because that's hilly also, and Unchagan means the high village. It's the village of Lalita Devi, and there are many places there, and there is a hill called the Sakhi Parvat, right, and on top there are the Chapan Katora, there are the 56 Katoris in the mountain, which are bowls in the stone where Krishna and the cowherd boys sometimes take prasadam, and you have a nice view from there of the Sriji Mandir in Varsana. I like that place, and I go there. Also, you have Deha Kunj there, where the gopis just surrender everything, mind, body, and words, to Krishna. And you can take bath there and see what happens if it rubs off. So I did. I jumped in, yes. So like this, we have many places there. So this, I was remembering how I was there. So by going to Vrindavan, and by remembering Vrindavan, then we start to, things start to remind us of Vrindavan. Then when we see hills, Govardhan, when we walk on some mountainous path, we remember some place in the Holy Dham. And suddenly, we're not just walking in the dragon's bird, drak, you know. It's a dragon, right? It's a drak is the Dutch word for dragon. What can I say? I don't know why they called it dragon. Right? Why? Dragons. I think that, but even when you say dragon, right? I think that dragons are basically flying snakes. Nagas fly. Snakes with wings, nagas. And they exist. Yes? They exist. One bit Maharaj Pariksit, as we remember. Taksak was such a serpent. So even dragons don't cause any problems, because even dragons take us to the Bhagavatam. Yeah.
So in that way,
somehow or other, we have that path, the external path, where we externally are, we are on the outside of Vrindavan, and we are looking at the spiritual world from a distance, as external observers. And little by little, as the weight goes onto the spiritual leg, naturally we'll start to take some more interest in the spiritual world and in Krishna's eternal activities, and so on. And we'll read something. But still, we remain outsiders. We remain outsiders. And whenever we experience it, that we cannot enter, just as Uddhava did. When Uddhava entered Vrindavan, he just experienced he could not enter. Not enter fully. He was there, but not completely. And he realized it, and he prayed to be a blade of grass, you know, near Kusumsaravar, so that the gopis would step on his head and all these things. So, could not really enter. So we also, even although the sweetness of Vrindavan is undoubtedly there, the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes is undoubtedly there,
there is only one problem, and that is our mind. That mind, the troublemaker, that mind, yeah, don't mind. It's the German accent is too good for these things. That mind, the troublemaker, yes, is
basically the one thing that gets in between.
Oh gosh, Govardhan, Govardhan, finally we're at Govardhan. Oh, ow, so hot. Oh, my feet, ow, thorns. Oh, such a long walk. You know, I mean, did you go on Parikrama in Vrindavan in one of those jeeps and, you know, and you're driving all over the place? Right? Vrindavan Parikrama. Gosh, I mean, really, if someone would shake my chair like that, right, I would be ready to sign anything, you know. Yes, I did it. I was there. Yes. Oh, gosh, you know. Intense. So, and can you imagine, Krishna and the cowherd boys, they had to walk it every day. Walking all that every day. It was a long walk, you know. So we cannot fully, you know, when I'm in Vrindavan and we're on a Parikrama and I'm with Dina Bandhu and I have to wait for 4 hours for the darshan of one temple and Dina Bandhu is totally ecstatic, I sort of look at like, where's the taxi? Maybe we'll go home and take darshan next time at this place. I'm not going to wait 4 hours. Yeah. Yeah. So it's difficult to enter into the ecstasy. Sometimes there's artificial ecstasy. That's the reflection, the chaya bar. Oh, oh, Vrindavan, oh, oh, oh. The nectar of devotion says there are two types of hearts. One heart, it says, is a golden heart, and the other heart is like a swab of cotton. If you have, I do it with this finger, let me see. The cotton, if you have a cotton swab heart, then, you know, at the slightest little thing, oh, 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 I just came to Vrindavan. Oh, Vrindavan, oh, Govardhan, oh, Yamunati. Cotton swab heart, described in the nectar book. Others have a golden heart, you know, like they're more grave. You don't know exactly what's going on inside, but something is deep is happening inside. So these two hearts are there. So, okay, our hearts may be touched by Vrindavan. Our hearts may be touched by the dealings of Krishna and the gopis, but are we able to understand the depth of the love that these residents of Vrindavan have? No, we're behind Uddhava, he's in front of us, right? Uddhava's in front of us, we're behind him. I mean, we're looking at Uddhava like, okay, Uddhava, you know, Vidura is way ahead of us, and Vidura was approaching Uddhava, and Uddhava is remembering Vrindavan, everything. So in this way, we're approaching Vrindavan. We approach Vrindavan as outsiders, but we do get something, and we do get inspired, and we take something with us. But then every once in a while, we meet our mind, and there it is again. And then we know, I'm lacking in love. And then we take shelter. We take shelter simply of Lord Chaitanya, of chanting Hare Krishna, of kirtan, of somehow or other being an agent. somebody nicked it off me. I reckon, you know, somebody nicked it off, if you're asking me. It is different.
Anyway, so, in this way, the mercy, I've given you these two paths. We are going both paths simultaneously. It's not that one over the other. Both are there in our spiritual life. Both. The external cultivation of our attachment to Buddha. But we realize we're behind Uddhava, looking over his shoulder into Vrindavan. We cannot fully enter. And then, as that awareness comes, we turn around and suddenly we see the other side of the spiritual world, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And we realize that right now, Lord Chaitanya is performing his pastimes on earth. And we realize that the Chaitanya Charitamrita did not end 500 years ago. We realize that it's going on right now, and we are in it. We're in it right now. It's happening to us right now, all around us. People are just getting touched by this transcendental movement. So in this way, we are okay, in this lecture today, I gave you a lot, actually. I know I just had to finish it. It was a long sit also. First a long walk this morning, now a long sit. Gosh, have mercy. Sorry, merciless Swami. No mercy. Make you sit for hours, make you walk over hills. Gosh, what to do? It's like this. This morning we went down the river, and then we got to go back up. It's no other way. So I was talking with Jivani, and it's like, you know, down at the river. And she said, I don't know if I can go back up. I said, well, you can stay here and become a yogini and live in the forest. No, well, you know, that's your choice. Either you stay there in the forest, become a yogini, or the other option is you go back up. Not old. Why are you getting all like, I don't get it. Where is that coming from?
There's no alternative.
That's reality. Reality check. It's not like hard-hearted Kadamba Kaniswami. You're making it sound as if it's hard-hearted Kadamba Kaniswami. Well, it's not like that. It's like reality check. You know? Reality check. That's hard-hearted me. I'm as much in the reality as everybody else. It's a very good. No, it's not like that. But just as once you go down, you have to go back, you know, back up. It's like that. So in this lecture, in this seminar, once it went down this road, I had to take it to the top. So today, you know, like to make it complete, right? So now I've shown you the Kanista, who is materially attached and struggling with material desires, and should I have them or not, to this, that, okay. The Madhyam, who is courageous, who says, no, I have material desires, but I'm not going to invest in that. I'm going to invest in my Krishna consciousness, even if it is sometimes difficult. Madhyam. Because I believe in that. I don't believe in my material desires. I have them, but I don't believe in them. What I'm saying is like, you know, we see, who doesn't like a Mercedes better than some Toyota Corolla, you know? So
in this material world, there are good things, and there are, you know, we know which things are good, and we like them. We don't mind them.
But saying no, my focus is I want spiritual life, the Mahjong. And the Mahjong has love for Krishna, I said. But now today we went up, right? And we went up to those devotees who are gradually becoming like the residents of the spiritual world, where the weight is fully on the spiritual leg. And then I showed the path, the external paths and the internal paths. And I gave an explanation of that. Not everyone may fully understand this point. You know, it's a deep point. It's a very deep point. This is something where basically I've brought everything together. I've brought our turning to Vrindavan together with taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya. So, yes, Vrindavan, 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 but also, who are we? Way behind Uddhava. Now let's do the reality check. Where are we? Right now, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, right there, we're in it. It's happening now, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, we can be part of it. And then, what will happen? Then it will take us to Vrindavan, to the internal path, to the heart, you see. All right, so I'll look at your questions now. Okay, the first one is hieroglyphics. Some Egyptian must have written this. When the soul goes to spiritual or hellish planets, what happens to the soul? Does it get another temporary body? In the hellish planets, the soul is in a subtle body made of mental energy. And therefore, in the hellish planets, when there is suffering, one doesn't die. See, in the hellish planets, there's all these punishments, and people don't die because their bodies are made of subtle energy. And therefore, they go on suffering. Anyway, that's hellish planets. But don't worry, we're not going to the hellish planets. Unless we get very, very much disrespectful towards the Vaishnavas, then I can't guarantee what will happen. But devotees, they don't go to the hellish planet. And we don't want to go there also. Spiritual is different. The spiritual world means that we get again access to our original spiritual body. I said amnesia. What happened is, for a long, long time, we have forgotten our eternal identity, so much so that we can't access it anymore. It's like we are very wealthy. We are very wealthy. But our capital is frozen. The government has frozen our bank account. And millions we have, but it's frozen. We can't access it. And therefore, although we're very wealthy, we're currently like poor. And we are lacking, like a poor man is lacking. Poor man always feels constant lacking. That's poverty. Poverty is painful, because poverty, you experience it all the time. You know, you all the time feel something's lacking. That's poverty. It's intense poverty. You just feel we can't have this, we can't have that. That's poverty. All the time. It just hurts. Poverty. That's where we are now. Always something lacking. Because we have become poor. But our eternal wealth is there, frozen in the bank account. And by this process of devotional service, it again becomes released, and we get access to our original wealth and to our original spiritual body. And that's who we are. It's not that we get a spiritual body. We are that body. There is no difference between the soul and the body in the spiritual world. But it's just a part of ourself which we cannot access right now because it's frozen, because we misbehaved. The government has frozen us. Spiritual body. Just a common Maharaj on Uddhava. His trip to Vraj was threefold: to understand about love and bhakti, 2, attachment, 3, to break his arrogance because he thought he was too learned. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where you got it, but next time you should give the source also. But I'm not sure about the third point, you see. Love and bhakti, the first point, yes. Second one, attachment, yes. The third one, to break his arrogance, because he thought he was too learned. I don't know. I don't know about that. I think maybe just the third one would be because Krishna just wanted him to learn. I think he was learned, and maybe there was a little bit of jnana mixed in, but I don't know if there was arrogance in him, see? If there was pride. If arrogance is such a word that I would like to apply to myself, you know, but I don't know if I'd like to apply it to Buddha. Could you speak a bit about the circumstances around Lord Krishna's leaving this planet? No, I just can't. I mean, it's there, but it is the most salient lila. And Vaishnavas don't like to speak about the most salient lila. It is that although we know it, we don't like to speak about the disappearance of Krishna. So if I could be saved from getting my mind into this whole thing and then carrying it with me for the rest of the day because I told it, I would rather skip it. But you can read it in the Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Did all the acharyas realize or know their eternal forms? If so, did they reveal these forms in scripture? Or somehow or other. Kavi Karnapur. I spoke about Kavi Karnapur. And Kavi Karnapur wrote a book, the Gora Ganadesh Deepika. And he is revealing the identities of the associates of Lord Chaitanya and who is who. So that's how we know that Sarup Damodar Goswami is. And that's how we know who Rupa Goswami is. And that is how we know that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is Brihaspati. He is that Brihaspati. Right. So like that, we can see all these things. Yes. Some of the acharyas revealed it, some did not reveal it. Srila Prabhupada never revealed. And Srila Prabhupada said, when asked by devotees, that you do not require. Now should everyone who is an acharya have realized their siddhadeha? Not necessarily. Because in the Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says there are 3 types of transcendental personalities, Mahabhagavats. One is the one who has 2 feet in the material world, but his eyes on the spiritual world.
That's the beginning.
Then one who has one foot in the material world, one foot in the spiritual world, and then one who has 2 feet in the spiritual world. He said that the first example is Narada when he was the son of the maidservant. Narada at that time was not 100% perfect, and therefore he could not fully see Krishna. He still had some contamination from the mode of goodness, it said. Yeah. But still, Narada was a transcendental personality. So it begins there with the acharyas. So some of our acharyas have 2 feet in the material world and the eyes on the spiritual world. Then Sukadev Goswami was so transcendental, 16 years old, walking naked throughout the world, walking through the forest. Some girls were bathing, they were also naked. He did not even have a thought or any attraction whatsoever. He was just absorbed in Krishna. That's being on another level. He was a resident of the spiritual world. So, Sukadev Goswami, and finally Narada Muni in a spiritual body, had 2 feet in the spiritual world, but at the same time as in the material world. So we see that many of the acharyas are like Sukadev. They are completely transcendental personalities. And Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada went to this morning star range in California, and the people were naked. And Prabhupada went there, and he pulls up with the car, and he sees this man in the garden, working, naked. Prabhupada winds down the window and says, "What are you doing?" The man says, "Growing potatoes." Prabhupada says, "No, with your life." Later on, he had a kirtan with these people. Man and women, naked, kirtan. I don't know if I would go for that. But Prabhupada, completely transcendental, so transcendental, just, and many became devotees from there, and some became sannyasis, names with help. Hare Krishna, as you said, that we can't go directly to Krishna, we should pray to Lord Chaitanya. But what if I don't have any attachment to Lord Chaitanya? What if I just naturally pray to Krishna only? What should I do? Then you should understand that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. But he's a special feature of Krishna. He's the soft-hearted feature of Krishna. He is the very kind feature of Krishna. The kind feature of Krishna that turns to those who are even not serious in the spiritual practices. You say, and why is it so? Because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. And Radharani is naturally soft-hearted, being feminine. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya's heart is suddenly in that soft-hearted, feminine mood. Very, you know, very compassionate and very quickly kind. Yeah, it's Krishna. Therefore, you may turn to Krishna and you may pray to Krishna. But will Krishna answer your prayers? See, I've been doing this practically 40 years. And sometimes in those 40 years, I must say that question did arise in my mind. Does Krishna hear my prayers? Have you never thought that thought? Has it never occurred to you? But I tell you one thing. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. But in the soft-hearted form, he always hears our prayers. Therefore, you must get to know Lord Chaitanya. By all means, find out more about Lord Chaitanya. You will gain tremendously, because it is said, mistakes, offenses that we make by doing things improperly, are not considered by Lord Chaitanya. With Krishna, strict, strict. Not perfect, then distance. Immediately Krishna withdraws. Distance is there. But Lord Chaitanya, even for those who are from this age, the people who are weak, the people who try, but you know, it doesn't always work. For those people, Lord Chaitanya says, it doesn't matter. I accept you anyway. Thanks. Thanks, Lord. Oh, that was kind of you, Lord. Because without it, would I have a chance? Without that merciful feature. So in that way, please do not neglect Lord Chaitanya. You need him. But we all do. We all are weak. That's our birthright. Weakness is our birthright as residents from the age of Kali. Be proud of it. I have taken my birth in this age of Kali. And yes, my birthright is weakness. And no one's exempt. So now, therefore, all right, I'll try that soft-hearted feature of Krishna. Okay, then, the golden feature of Krishna. Isn't it amazing? Krishna, who is blackish. Now, have you heard? Have you heard it? Now he's golden. No, yes, yes, no, he's golden, really. Black no more, he's turned golden. What happened? Our Lord Krishna, no longer blackish like a rain cloud, but now golden like a champak flower. Ah, like the moon. Mayapur Sasi, the moon of Mayapur Chandra. Ah, soft-hearted. So no, we need that word. Okay. And the last question, and then I'm really going to let you go. I feel a little guilty. I feel like I've bombarded you with all kinds of things. I mean, that may be a lot to digest, but still I hope that it is useful. You spoke about Uddhava visiting Vrindavan from Dwarka. In Vrindavan, the residents, Nanda and Yasoda, see Krishna as their loving child, not as God. And so they interact with Krishna accordingly. In Dwarka, the mood is different. Devotees see Krishna as the Supreme Lord, so they interact with Krishna according to that mood. Both relationships are important, but can you explain why the sweetness of Vrindavan is higher than the lordship mood of Dwarka? Because in the lordship movement, the lordship relationship, when Krishna is Lord, Krishna is accepting our worship and our service. But when Krishna is a friend or a family member in Vrindavan, then he's sharing more with us. In Dwarka, the residents came into Krishna's rooms and quarters and were asked to leave. Uddhava stayed. Eventually he also left. The cowherd boys, Krishna sleeps in their lap, and they don't leave. They're there. It's more close, more intimate, more equal, sharing. It is all about very intimately sharing with Krishna, with God. Some say that God is all-pervading. The Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, shows us the universal form. And many faces, and many mouths, and many eyes, everywhere, in all directions. Oh, my Lord, Arjuna was on his knees. Arjuna was, oh, my Lord, forgive me. I have treated you too intimately, too disrespectful. Oh, my Lord, your greatness. You see the majesty of the Lord. So, Dwarka, when Krishna is worshipped as the Lord, we see the majesty of the Lord. But in Vrindavan, Krishna gives up that majesty. And Krishna comes so close. He is so human. He has become so human in Vrindavan. So much like us, and so much like the residents of Vrindavan. He's just one of them. And therefore, the closeness in Vrindavan is unique. And therefore, the exchanges in Vrindavan are more sweet than anywhere else. I got it off my chest now. Yes. Let me thank you for your appreciation. I let you rest a little bit. I think you deserve it. This afternoon also there's some opportunity to rest. Or to just, you know, go swimming in the pool. Or one time, the first time we were here, they played cricket. Right? The whole Durban team played cricket. And I tell you, they were not very good at it. You know, to be honest, right? I'm a little frank, you know. They were not very good at it. And, you know, most of the time they couldn't properly pitch the ball, you know, it was like... So, and then they finally got a hit at it, you know, it didn't go very far either. It wasn't impressive. So I was looking at the game and thinking, what is it that makes them so attached to this game, right? But then I saw... You know, then I saw what actually makes the game happen, you know. There was a huge argument. Out, 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 get out. No, we are not out. That, with all due respect, I think that's why Indians like cricket so much. I'm sorry, that was not fair, but still, I think... Arguing comes natural. No. We're not out. No. Anyway, with my teasing remarks, there will be a kirtan this afternoon here also by Vrindavan Das. I forgot the time, but you have it on your WhatsApp. And if you don't have WhatsApp, I'm sure you know somebody who has WhatsApp. Maybe your neighbor. Right? So in that way, the program is there. And then in the evening, we'll continue again with the program. And I thank you very much. We can now sort of start thinking about lunch and the rest. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai.